This summer, the Great Barrier Reef experienced large-scale bleaching triggered by high ocean temperatures for the third time in 5 years. It's a phenomenon researchers from the Australian Research Council's Centre of Excellence for Coral Reef Studies have been tracking across 5 events since 1998 using aerial and underwater surveys. Dr. Terry Hughes is director of the centre. He says there is mounting concern that these events are happening with increasing regularity and outside of the natural warming cycles of El Niño.
The gap between one event and the next one is a window of opportunity for the corals to rebound. It's the recovery period. So obviously if you've back-to-back bleaching in two consecutive summers, like we did in 2016 and 17, then you get no recovery. We did have two cooler summers, close to average temperatures, between 2017 and this year, 2020, and we have been measuring the beginning of a recovery. But recovery of corals, even the fastest growing ones, takes at least a decade for a half-decent recovery. So the limited recovery that has occurred in the last couple of summers has now been impacted by this new bleaching event. And so we're concerned about how much recovery will be possible following this event before the next one.
Is there a difference between the impact on shallow and deep reefs?
There is. Light also plays a role in bleaching. We often, for example, observe corals underwater where the top of the coral is snow white, but the sides are pale or unbleached. Bleaching tends to decline with depth, but we're still finding significant bleaching at 30 to 40 meters depth, so it's not just a shallow water phenomenon.
What does this bleaching do for other marine life that uses those corals as a habitat?
Bleaching is actually incredibly selective. So scientists talk about coral species that are winners versus losers. The winners are tougher corals. They take more heat to bleach, and when they do bleach, they generally regain their color and survive a few months later as the temperatures drop. The so-called losers, the heat-susceptible species, are mostly branching corals, staghorn corals, or corals that are the size and shape of a coffee table, tabular corals. And those last two groups, the staghorns and the tables, provide most of the nooks and crannies on a reef. They provide the three-dimensionality. And that's important for all the rest of the biodiversity that's famously associated with the coral reef. So the fish and the crustaceans and so on depend on three-dimensional corals as the habitat provision that corals provide. So when you lose a lot of corals through a bleaching event or through a cyclone, it has a much broader effect on the rest of the ecosystem. Branching corals, for instance, are a nursery for many species of reef fish. So it's not good news broadly to lose a lot of corals.
What do you think we're going to see happen in the Great Barrier Reef in coming years?
We're going to see a lot of change. So with 1 degree, roughly, so far of global average warming, we've now seen 5 of these recurrent mass bleaching events on the Great Barrier Reef since 1998. The general trend is that they're becoming stronger. They're becoming more widespread. So 2020 was the first time we saw severe bleaching in the north, the middle, and now the south of the Great Barrier Reef. And the gap between them is getting shorter. So we're going to see more of these bleaching events. And because they are very selective in terms of which corals can survive, the mix of coral species is changing already very rapidly on the Great Barrier Reef, and that trend will continue. Another half a degree of warming of tropical oceans, which coincides with the 1.5 degree Paris target, I think is doable. Pretty confident we'll still have a Great Barrier Reef in 30 years' time. But if we go to 3 or 4 degrees centigrade, which is probably closer to where we're heading under the current commitments that individual countries have made to the Paris Agreement, then the Great Barrier Reef will become more and more different, less and less recognizable as a functioning coral reef by the end of this century.
Beyond the environmental, what other impacts do you think we will see from declining reefs?
Well, coral reefs are important to about 400 million people who depend on them for their food security and for their livelihood. So there are lots of reasons why we should be protecting coral reefs. They're not just pretty places for wealthy people to have a holiday. Most of the people who depend on them critically live in relatively small, relatively poor, rapidly developing countries. So it's really important that we do a better job of protecting them.
Dr. Terry Hughes, Director of the ARC Centre of Excellence for Coral Reef Studies.